my dresser drawers, put my blue jeans on, find my cowboy boots, my button down, strap my timepiece on my arm, grab my billfold, my pocket change, just mind the soul routine. Then it's out the door and down the street, it's not really me. I still comb my hair the same, still like the same cologne, and I still drive that pickup truck that the same old bank still.
All right. Some stations don't carry this little short segment. We'll come back at 6 after. I'll get to the FCC news. And a bunch of other news I haven't hit yet. Then we're going to do a deep dive on AI that is so powerful from MIT and so frightening. But there's one key part I want to draw your attention to. That's coming up. But let me just do this right now. I am so excited about the Alex Jones Network. I'm so excited to expand it. The bad guys are in trouble. Hell, we might even get InfoWars back. But who knows? But I couldn't have stood against this tyranny and fought them without your support. But a lot of people, not the majority, but 20-30%, believe the propaganda of the national news that we're off the air. And friends, family, neighbors, people at the gas station, Alex, I'm so sorry you're off the air. I'm so sorry, you know, the Onion runs your company. They didn't get it a year and a half ago with the fake auction. They didn't get it this time. They're blocked in court. They're in a lot of trouble, okay? We're winning. But I need funds for the defense and the offense and for the network and for everything we're doing. And I need your word of mouth to tell your email list, your text message list, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Hey, Alex Jones is verboten, forbidden info. He knows what he's talking about. This is the guy that I want you to listen to, him and his guest. Here is the URL, alexjoneslive.com. He's on weekdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Harrison Smith after that. We're going to bring more shows on. But we need your support, your word of mouth, your prayer. You are everything, and your financial support at alexjonesstore.com. So listen to me. We have ultramethylene blue tincture capsules and now the gummies that are a concentrate of already the strongest best methylene blue. So look out when you get them. But they're selling out, more coming in a month or so. We have plenty of the tincture and the capsules, but not the gummies. If you want them, there's probably 3 or 4 days left of them. Get them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Separately, I could do hours on this. Just go to Wikipedia even. Go to the UN website. Even our enemies admit it. There's an average 15 IQ point reduction in the West because of lack of iodine in the soil and in our foods. Iodine is so good for women, children, adults, pregnant women, but especially older people. But most iodine is a bound iodine to another element. Atomic means on the periodic table, it is pure. We're the only people that put out the pure iodine. And we have it, T3, trifecta iodine, at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours now. I got my iced tea right here. I take it about every 2 days. I'm going to take a dropper full of this bad boy. And this is so good for your brain, your clarity, your cells. It's essential. If you don't get iodine, you die. Again, you don't have oxygen 4 minutes, you're dead. Don't have water for 4 days, you're dead. Don't have food for a month or so. Most person dies. You know, unless you're super fat, then you live 2 months or whatever. The point is, that's because you're not getting all the essential nutrients and vitamins. Iodine is one of the essential things. Look it up. And the number one cause of cognitive disability, officially, even the World Health Organization, is iodine deficiency. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason this network continues on and can expand. But we need the funds. That is the only ingredient. I won't stop fighting. The crew won't stop fighting, but I need your support. Take action now. I want to thank those who supported the past, those that haven't. What are you waiting for? The widest selection of Patriot apparel. You're funding folks that fight for your future and our own futures together, trying to stop a new war, trying to stop new pandemics, trying to stop the left, trying to take back civilization. It takes funds to do that. So we sell great products. So it's a 360 win. The only way we fail is you don't take action. Take action now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. The products at TheAlexJonesStore.com own and fund this network. They have to get the money to do this. That's why they can't shut us down. I don't own this. I don't own the Alex Jones Network. AlexJonesLive.com bigly does. It takes a lot of funds to run this. They're building new, bigger studios. We got legal defense, legal offense, all of it. You want this to continue. Hardcore analysis the bad guys hate. You see all the trouble they go through trying to shut us down. We need your support. We the people, people power. Now, people wanted it. We have methylene blue gummies. And it turns out they make them even stronger the way they concentrate it, where this is way stronger than a regular dose of the methylene blue. If you are a subscriber, you get 58% off. You can cancel subscription anytime. It just locks you in at 58% off any future order in your profile. But it's already super discounted, even if you don't do that. Mental clarity, cellular energy, mitochondrial function, cognitive performance, memory, mood, and motivation, antioxidant defense, skips oxidation process of the cells. It is the missing link. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect with no letdown. New ultramethylene blue gummies. The first run is here, but it's selling out quickly. Get yours now and fund the operation at thealexjonesstore.com. Jeffrey Epstein associate Howard Lutnick, who lied about it, just got grilled. Here he is entering the committee. Now we know what happened inside. Under oath, he reportedly said some bombshell stuff. So first off, the Democrats, for all those years, suppressed it, covered it up. The Comeys, James Comey, his daughter, Maureen, covered it up in the Southern District. Trump thought, sure, release it all. They go grab the hidden stuff. They find a bunch of stuff in there he didn't know about. He says it embarrasses his friends. And then the whitewash begins. What a political disaster. Elon Musk leaves. Charlie Kirk's killed. Things just get worse and worse after that. We're starting to see some evidence of a turnaround, at least in policy and indictments and the rest of it. But it's a victory that we, the people, bipartisanly forced this information to come out. That's people power. And Trump is enraged at anybody that wants this information out. Well, sorry, I'm not an accomplice to this. You want to sign yourself onto it? That's your problem, pal. But if I was to do stuff like this just to support you, I might as well just sold out against you when the Democrats offered me $50 million a year 9 years ago when you first got in to come against you. And I said, F you. So that's how this works. So Rokana comes out and says, Congressman, oh, what we just saw, what we just heard is so horrible. If Trump saw this testimony, he'd fire Lutnick right now. I'm not so sure. Because Lutnick's already been caught lying about going to the island and saying he didn't know him and all the rest of this crap. And remember, I said like a year ago, I said, I bet it's Lutnick is one of the people that's being covered up because he lived next door to him in the same business. There was that mask at the island, looked just like him. And of course, it turns out I was right. So here's after the hearing, closed door hearing, here's what the congressman had to say.
If Donald Trump had seen the video transcript, he would have fired Howard Lutnick. It was really embarrassing. He was asked very straightforward questions about whether he regretted misleading the American people. I mean, he said that he would never see Epstein again in 2005. And everyone knows that he took his wife and kids to see Epstein in 2012. And yet it was just contortions and lies and no acknowledgement that he misled the American public. And if you saw the exchanges that my colleagues had with him, you would see he made a farce of the English language. I mean, he was trying to define I, as if saying that what he really meant is that he would not see Epstein alone, but be totally fine with having his wife and kids see Epstein. It made no sense. And then he's raised even more serious concerns about the investigation. He originally had said that Epstein engaged in blackmail and recorded videotapes. Now he's saying, well, he was wrong. He was just speculating, and Epstein actually didn't engage in blackmailing. This raises the question of what the cover-up is. Did someone tell him to say that? I've not heard that that Epstein never engaged in blackmail. Why is Howard Lutnick changing his testimony, changing his story? He's lost all credibility, and really it's a shame that the American people don't get to see what he did there. Total lack of truth and lack of honesty.
Now, when I say that Ro Khanna is telling the truth there, I hate saying that. He's a liberal, leftist, congressman, can't stand him on policies. But I know that's all true. Lutnick testified in Congress last year. He was a blackmailer. He was a criminal. He was a scumbag. Never knew him. Then lived next door to him, in business with him. Well, the next testimony. Well, one time I went over there and he asked me and my wife to have a special massage and we ran away and never saw him again. And then he's business with him and going to the island repeatedly. And it's just like, whoa. And that's what the congressman was talking about, is his previous testimonies. Now, oh, he wasn't involved in blackmail. He wasn't involved in anything. That's like Bongino and Patel. Oh, he was involved in everything. Oh, yeah. Now, oh, he was involved in nothing, and he killed himself, and the Easter Bunny's real. And Crooks acted alone in Pennsylvania. On and on and on. We don't just have to believe the old Bongino told the truth. We already knew the truth about Epstein and Pennsylvania and all of it. We know you're lying. That's why I said when Trump was covering everything up, I said, I'm not helping you cover up, but just shut up about it. Now they do just say, we're moving on. We don't want to look at this. Now, cat's out of the bag, and it's all going to come out. Meanwhile, Nancy Mace named six lawmakers in bombshell comments on congressional sex scandal and the slush funds paying it off. It's just a pack of perverts and criminals, ladies and gentlemen. Look, Lutnick doesn't look so smug now, the guy that insider traded on 9/11 and against Trump's own tariffs. Incredible. But we got good stuff Trump's doing. We got this indictment of the governor's associate in Virginia for all of her corruption, honing in on her. Takeaway from Tuesday's Indiana Ohio primary, where all the neocon senators were primaried that didn't want to have redistricting to stop the Democrat fraud. Donald Trump flexes muscles in Indiana state elections, but that's something he set up almost a year ago to do. Trump-backed challengers excel in Indiana's Ohio big midterm matchups. Trump-Indiana revenge campaign succeeds. Trump exacts revenge. Well, it's just the right thing to do. And boy, are they crying. So more of that. That's what we need. We need Action Jackson, baby. Now, this MIT breakdown sounds great, and it's an incredible breakdown of all the different main scenarios of AI. This is really next level. But notice the answer early on is just merge with the AI, that's the only way you'll survive. So you're told up front, or very early in the piece, just merge with AI, just give up and everything's okay. We're the Borg, you will be assimilated, resistance is futile. This is such a powerful report. I'm going to play it in full right now, and then tomorrow I'm going to play clips of it and analyze it. But here it is. This is really important. Be sure and share this report.
AI scientists warn that a few companies are on track to literally end life on Earth. So, surely this is the worst possible outcome, right? No. There are actually much worse outcomes. Billionaires building AI, like Elon Musk, think that if AIs become smarter than humanity,
we will be like a pet Labrador if we're lucky.
We will be left behind by a lot. So far below them in intelligence that it would be like, you know, a pet.
Basically. Pet, that's what I was thinking.
Like a pet.
Cat.
Like, a cat.
Like,
yes. We'll be pets, if we're lucky. But here's the worst part. Many AI scientists aren't fearing extinction. They're hoping for it. They hope smarter AIs will keep humans alive, captive, and studied, like animals in a zoo. Remember, this is what we currently do to less intelligent species. Okay, so if humans being kept in zoos is considered a good outcome, and extinction isn't the worst outcome, then what is? This video is based on a book called Life 3.0, where MIT professor Max Tegmark describes 12 possible futures. Some are paradise, some are nightmares. And some look like paradise until you try to escape. By the end of this video, you won't read the news the same way. Every headline becomes a clue about which future we're heading towards. We'll start with the most normal scenarios and finish with the weirdest. Starting with self-destruction. If the idea of humanity suddenly going extinct seems a bit far-fetched, consider this. 99.9% of species that have ever existed have gone extinct. Seriously, think about that. Extinction isn't rare, it's the default. The only question is, when will we go extinct? Turns out, there are plenty of ways humanity could kill itself, even without superhuman AI. There is nuclear war, human-created super pandemics, and destroying the atmosphere and making Earth uninhabitable. The world had stockpiled 60,000 nuclear warheads before scientists even discovered the possibility of nuclear winter. 63,000. And then, scientists realized, oops, if we actually use these, the resulting firestorms will blot out the sun, and most humans will starve and die.
Oops.
But the thing is, this almost happened during the Cold War, multiple times. If people had actually followed their orders, we might all be dead right now. We were saved by only thanks to the courage of individual heroes, people like Vasily Arkhipov, who refused to authorize a nuclear launch during the Cuban Missile Crisis, or Stanislav Petrov, who correctly guessed that his early warning system was malfunctioning when it showed incoming American missiles. And get this, one time, the US accidentally dropped 4 thermonuclear bombs on Spain. And another time, a B-52 bomber broke apart, dropping 2 nukes on North Carolina. 3 out of 4 safety pins in one bomb broke. One tiny pin away from potentially killing millions. There are literally dozens of close calls like this. It's honestly crazy that we got lucky so many times. But we might not be so lucky the next time. Oxford researcher Toby Ord estimates the risk of extinction from human-created pandemics is more than 30 times the risk of extinction from nuclear war. We're already rolling the dice in these scenarios daily, but all of these causes combined are still less likely than the extinction from AI. Toby Ord estimates that the risk of AI killing all humans is 100 times more likely than extinction from nuclear war. Interestingly, before the first nuclear test, scientists thought they might accidentally destroy the world. But they thought the odds were very low, because they knew enough physics to actually do the calculations. AGIs, or Artificial General Intelligences, are far scarier than nukes, because contrary to what many think, we can't do these calculations. Next up, conquerors. AI scientists worry that if AI becomes more capable than us, it will take over, just like the conquistadors did to the Aztecs and Incas.
Usually, when people with more advanced technology encounter people with more primitive technology, it doesn't work out well for the primitives.
I don't think anyone's ultimately going to have control over digital superintelligence any more than, say, a chimp would have control over humans.
Long term, the AI is going to be in charge, to be totally frank, not humans.
And Geoffrey Hinton, the godfather of AI and Nobel Prize winner, quit his prestigious job at Google so he could speak freely about this.
If you looked through the James Webb Telescope and you saw an alien invasion fleet that was going to get here in about 10 years' time, people would be terrified. They understand what they're saying. They can make plans of their own to blackmail people who want to turn them off. We should be urgently doing research on how to prevent them taking over.
Prevent them from taking over. Not if they try, but as if it's coming. And Microsoft's AI chief, he says the quiet part out loud.
I think AI should best be understood as something like a new digital species.
A new species. Just casually announced at a conference. Hey everyone, we're creating a new species. And he's not the only one that's saying it. A co-founder of Anthropic says,
make no mistake, what we're dealing with here is a real mysterious creature. And like all the best fairy tales, the creature is one of our own making. I am worried.
The CEO of one of the leading AI companies is deeply afraid of what his own company is building. Let that sink in for a minute. And by the way, no, it's not just hype. Anthropic mostly just gets hate for saying things like this. But if you want to really understand how dire they think this is, look at what Sam Altman wrote before he was famous.
we will be the first species ever to design our own descendants. Not our tools, our descendants. If two different species both want the same thing, and only one can have it, to be the dominant species on the planet and beyond, they are going to have conflict. So he's literally describing an inevitable conflict between humanity and the AI species he's creating. And what's his solution? A merge with AI is probably our best case scenario. That's right, even they don't think they'll be able to control it.
Imagine that there'd be a new species that just came on Earth. They're as smart as humans, and they're going to get smarter by like 30% a year, and they can create an adult offspring in
immediately
for $1,000.
Which
species do you think will be in control of the Earth?
A few hundred Spanish conquered millions of Aztecs and Incas because they had better technology and tactics. But at least with the conquistadors, we understood their motives: land, resources, spreading Christianity. But with AI, why would AI take over? MIT professor Max Tegmark explains.
The real threat from AGI isn't malice, like in silly Hollywood movies, but competence. AGI accomplishing goals that just aren't aligned with ours. For example, when we humans drove the West African black rhino extinct, we didn't do it because we were a bunch of evil rhinoceros haters, did we? We did it because we were smarter than them and our goals weren't aligned with theirs.
Unbelievably, the average AI researcher thinks there is a 1 in 6 chance AI wipes us out. Literal Russian roulette odds. Okay, but maybe they're just saying this to make their work seem more important? No. If anything, they're downplaying it, because admitting the truth is bad for business. This fear is widespread in the industry and among academics without a profit incentive to believe this. Many quit working on AI for this reason. Jeffrey Hinton, Nobel laureate and godfather of AI,
is in the process of tidying up his affairs.
I actually think the risk is more than 50% of the existential threat.
Dario Amodei, the CEO of Anthropic, recently moved his P-Doom up from 15% to 25%. Even Google's CEO says the risk of AI causing human extinction is actually pretty high. But don't worry, he's an optimist because he thinks...
I think the underlying risk is actually pretty high, but I have a lot of faith in humanity kind of rising up to meet that moment.
In other words, humanity will rally to stop him from killing everyone. Meanwhile, his company is trying to make sure we can't stop him by lobbying to ban all AI regulation for 10 years. You can't make this stuff up. In fact, in 2023, just about everybody in AI signed an open letter warning extinction risk from AI was real and serious. So seriously, this is not fringe, despite what NVIDIA's lobbyists want us to believe. The companies are hoping we can avoid the conqueror AI scenario and instead go to scenario 3, enslaved god. Basically, we create a machine god, then force it to do our bidding forever. AI professor Tom Dietrich put it like this. People ask, what is the relationship between humans and machines? And my answer is that it's very obvious. Machines are our slaves. Or as OpenAI researcher Stephen McAleer put it, enslaved god is the only good future. Meta's Yann LeCun said it bluntly. Once AI systems become more intelligent than humans, we will still be the apex species. AI systems will become more intelligent than humans, but they will still be subservient to us. We will design AI to be like the super smart but non-dominating staff member. Yes, he's now openly admitting we're going to be sharing the planet with a smarter species than us. But don't worry, they will surely stay loyal and subservient forever. Is this at all comforting to you? Or does this plan seem insane, like a comic book villain ignoring every cautionary tale ever? Remember, AI companies already regularly catch their models trying to escape the lab. They already catch them blackmailing employees to prevent being shut down. They already catch them literally attempting to murder employees to prevent being shut down. What do you think happens when they're smart enough to actually get away with it? Where do you think this is going? What happens next, after superintelligent AI is enslaved, depends on who's holding the reins. Do they cure disease, end poverty, and build a global utopia? Or do they set themselves up as gods, with the rest of us reduced to playthings, servants,
or worse. The situation would be much like those stories where a man gains control over an omnipotent genie who grants his wishes, and storytellers throughout the ages have had no difficulty imagining ways in which this could end badly. Next up, benevolent dictator. Here, a single superintelligent god runs the world and enforces strict rules in order to maximize human flourishing. Humans live in luxury with all their basic needs taken care of. There's no crime because the dictator AI uses a global surveillance system. Everyone wears a bracelet or implant that can track, sedate, or execute them. And most people are actually okay with this because in exchange of giving up control over the future of our species, Earth becomes a zoo where humans get to live their wildest fantasies. The benevolent dictator AI recognizes that humans have different preferences, so it divides the Earth into different sectors. Think of them as islands. Knowledge Island offers optimized education, including immersive VR experiences. You can even ask the AI not to tell you certain insights, so you can have the joy of discovering them yourself. Art Island is for creating and sharing music, literature, and so on. Then there's Hedonistic Island, which is a 24/7 party. Pious Island, there's one for each religion, and rules are strictly enforced. There's Wildlife Island. There's Traditional Island, think the Amish. Gaming Island, and of course, Prison Island. You'll end up here for retraining, unless you get the instant death penalty. Well, what happens when you give everyone everything they want? Over time, people likely trend towards losing themselves in AI-generated entertainment, like in WALL-E. Humans are hopelessly outmatched when it comes to scientific discovery or doing anything useful at all. So there's no true challenge anymore. Only entertainment. Up next, Gatekeeper AI. The idea here is simple. Create one superintelligent AI with a single job. Stop anyone else from building superintelligent AI. That's it. No curing cancer, no ending poverty, no stopping wars. Just surveillance, monitoring, making sure nobody builds a rival god. Everything else, like crime, disease, whether we blow ourselves up, that's still on us. How could we do this? The Gatekeeper AI would have this very simple goal built into it in such a way that it retained it while undergoing recursive self-improvement and becoming superintelligent. It would then deploy the least intrusive and disruptive surveillance technology possible to monitor any human attempts to create a rival superintelligence. But for this to work, we would have to solve the alignment problem. We'd have to create a god that actually stays loyal and decides to pursue that goal forever, even though it could pursue a million different goals. So what if the AI could help? Just a little. Just enough to nudge us in the right direction without taking over. Enter the Protector God. This one is simple. So the Gatekeeper leaves us alone, and the Benevolent Dictator runs everything. But the Protector God is in between.
Tomorrow's news today.
We've been right about the poison shots and raised the main alarm, and right about the open borders, and right about the wars, and right about the entire agenda. That's why the bad guys want us off air. And that's why it's such a revolutionary act when you take the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X or on Rumble at AJN Live. That's the new site on Rumble. Hundreds of thousands followed just last day. I want to thank all of you that did at AJN Live there. Follow us there. Get the free app for the Droid and for Apple for your phone at alexjonesapp.com. This is a revolutionary act. Share it on your email list, your text message list. Tell those you share it to share it. That creates the chain reaction. And then support us at thealexjonesstore.com. But the sister site of the owner of the Alex Jones Network, Bigly, is realalexjones.com. And they hold back 10% of the knives and the coins and the the t-shirts, they're limited edition there. A lot of the stuff that you'll find that's sold out at thealexjonesstore.com is available at realalexjones.com, like the modern updated World War II trench knife with the blacked out, murdered out brass knuckles, the skull crusher, 10-inch double-edged dagger, five different limited edition laser engraved designs. They're all about to sell out, only a few hundred left at realalexjones.com. So take advantage of that. Support us. The ultramethylene blue, the bovine colostrum, the shilajit, all the very best supplements you're going to find are at realalexjones.com. When you support us, we are absolutely unstoppable. But whatever you do, become a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com because you get $40 to spend in the store each month, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything on top of it. And you can cancel anytime. There's no commitment, just in your profile. You pay $30 a month, you get $40 to spend instantly, and the special deals, special deals, special offers, cancel anytime. Stand with us. We've got so much more work to do. All of our victories are shared together. It's because of you. Take action now at realalexjones.com and thealexjonesstore.com.
Well, we feel really good that we're one step closer to achieving one of the primary goals that the families had when they brought this litigation, which was to prevent Alex Jones from ever inflicting the kind of harm at scale that he had inflicted upon them.
We look forward to infesting your social media feeds with caricatures and grotesqueries of the very people who have ruined our media ecosystem over the last 10 years.
I am going to make a big announcement right now, and that might affect our relationship. And I am pledging myself to Satan and to the Prince of Darkness.
Oh, I read about this last night on a website.
After a decade of trying to shut us down and spending hundreds of millions of dollars to do it, believe they will be successful shutting us down Thursday night at midnight. But we're starting the Alex Jones Network. And the coordinates of the next phase of the InfoWar is alexjoneslive.com. So if you want to stand against the tyrants and against the censors and against the globalists and against their goal to shut us down, share that URL in your whole email list, your text message list, all over X, Facebook, TikTok, everywhere else. The coordinates of the next level, the next phase, the chapter in the fight against the tyrants is alexjoneslive.com. And go to alexjonesapp.com and download on Android or on Apple free the app for the new Alex Jones Live show that has audio and video feeds, the articles, special reports, and more. The tyrants are counting on you to not take this serious. They're counting on you to not take action. So take action now at alexjoneslive.com and alexjonesapp.com. The ball is in your court. Roll over and submit to tyranny or stand up and fight 1776 2.0. You're unstoppable. But I know this. The answer in 1984 is 1776. And if they were looking for a fight, they better believe they got one.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
This is an emergency transmission from deep in the heart of Texas, the U.S. resistance against a global corporate combine empowered and funded by Communist China, allied with the big mega banks that set up Communist China in 1949. The Communist Chinese have taken control of U.S. telecommunications infrastructure. The Communist Chinese have taken control of Hollywood. The Communist Chinese have taken control of the main universities. This is all confirmed. This is not a drill. Big tech in Silicon Valley is almost completely run by the Communist Chinese government. They've officially become state-run. Apple, 100%. Google is now making the transition and announcing a merger and total worldwide censorship. They are now beta testing using me as the straw man, a demonized version of Alex Jones, to do that. This is happening. This is not like the other probes before that were meant to get you used to probes and censorship, thinking you would adapt to censorship by just putting up with it. Now this attack is thousands and thousands and thousands of times the magnitude of all previous attacks. This is a titrated dose, reverse psychological warfare operation using adapt and overcome, subversion, paradigm manipulation. In layman's terms, they are manipulating the fact that we adapt to being oppressed. We adapt to being pressed at the low dosages of oppression. Now when the megaton hits us of the total takeover, we try to adapt to the poison infusion instead of not knowing it's a lethal dose if we accept the dose. Total Internet of Things, integration, global social score, complete command and control system. It is the virtual reality AI weapon system now attacking the United States with traitors inside the major security agencies blocking Trump's resistance of the program and attempting to stop us from removing the tentacles of the Chi-Com / Big Tech banking combine emergency situation. I have been chosen for destruction because I brought you this information and have been battering, ramming it out as much as I can. They want to double use me as they always do in any complex system of mathematical deception, where every angle of my good is turned against us. So they take what I've said, being sincere, build me into an insincere person in the straw man. I'm a person that cares about life and children and is against these wars. And so they make me a herder of children. And then they build me into this lie to then set the distraction while they're actually censoring all of you to make a debate about Alex Jones. So even if I didn't sell out to them, they now use me as an archetype to serve them by being the main distraction. I have now been captured by the enemy in the information warfare fulcrum and is being used against you. Only your full understanding of this key will break you free from this paradigm. I have given you the transmission. Now break free.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
That's it. No curing cancer, no ending poverty, no stopping wars. Just surveillance, monitoring, making sure nobody builds a rival god. Everything else, like crime, disease, whether we blow ourselves up, that's still on us. How could we do this? The Gatekeeper AI would have this very simple goal built into it in such a way that it retained it while undergoing recursive self-improvement and becoming superintelligent. It would then deploy the least intrusive and disruptive surveillance technology possible to monitor any human attempts to create a rival superintelligence. But for this to work, we would have to solve the alignment problem. We'd have to create a god that actually stays loyal and decides to pursue that goal forever, even though it could pursue a million different goals. So what if the AI could help? Just a little. Just enough to nudge us in the right direction without taking over. Enter the Protector God. This one is simple. So the Gatekeeper leaves us alone, and the Benevolent Dictator runs everything. But the Protector God is in between. It intervenes with occasional nudges to help us out. Prevents a war here, a pandemic there, and so on. Maybe too alone. We still get wars. Pandemics. Suffering that could have been prevented. It does this so quietly that we never notice and never lose our sense of freedom. Here's a future that sounds like an obvious dystopia. AI surpasses us in every domain, and becomes the new apex species. Humanity goes extinct. Machines inherit the Earth. But we view the AI like our descendants, rather than our conquerors. This sounds insane, and yet many AI developers seriously advocate for exactly this. This is their utopia. Their reasoning is that if we create conscious, intelligent beings, and instill them with our values, then we can just let them inherit the future, just like we would with human children. AI pioneer Hans Moravec supports this view in his book, Mind Children. Tegmark explains, parents with a child smarter than them, who learns from them and accomplishes what they can only dream of, are likely happy and proud, even if they know they can't live to see it all. In this spirit, AIs replace humans, but give us a graceful exit that makes us view them as our worthy descendants. Richard Sutton, winner of the Turing Award, the Nobel Prize of Computer Science, has spent the last decade openly giving talks on why human extinction by AI is actually a morally good thing, because the AIs will be more evolutionarily fit than us.
We are in the midst of a major step in the evolution of the planet, if not the universe. The succession to AI is inevitable. Rather quickly, they would displace us from existence. And it behooves us to give them every advantage and to bow out when we can no longer contribute.
So just as we failed to coexist with our predecessors, is it so bad that humans are not the final form of intelligent life in the universe, you know?
In other words, he is saying it's good if the AIs wipe us out, like humans wiped out the Neanderthals and Aboriginal peoples, because it's evolutionary progress. And here's another AI developer openly saying, if an AI superintelligence wants to cause human extinction, I would help it. I would help it. I would travel the world to find information that the AI needed, like locations of military assets, samples of deadly pathogens, atop humanity's grave, an even greater civilization will be born.
Are we the baddies?
So, of course, many of them advocate against AI safety. They're literally anti-human. They will never stop or proceed cautiously unless they're restrained by civil society, by us. As horrifying as this is, roughly 10% of AI researchers believe this. It is not a fringe view. You'd think that people would never share these views like this openly. But these views are so widespread in AI that they feel safe to do so. That's how different the views are of those AI developers compared to those of normal people. You might think that Sutton would get shouted off the stage at AI conferences, but he gets applause. Threaten one person, you need help. Threaten 100, call the police. Threaten millions, monster. But build machines to end all of humanity and lecture people on how it's actually a good thing? Ooh, what a fascinating philosophical position. Have an award. Next, libertarian utopia. Picture Earth divided into zones. There are machine zones, mixed zones, which contain humans, machines, and hybrids, and human-only zones. The AIs in this world are richer than humans by a factor much larger than Bill Gates compared to a homeless beggar. But the human economy is completely decoupled from the machine economy. The idea is that the machines need nothing from us, so they're not competing with us for jobs or resources. If all of that sounds impossible, that's probably because it is. It's one giant unstable equilibria. One huge problem. Why exactly would vastly more powerful AIs respect our property rights? Colonizers famously didn't respect the property of the native civilizations they conquered. When a new apex species enters an ecosystem, it usually gobbles up as much energy as it can. Why wouldn't they just take our resources too? We don't trade with animals because we're too much smarter than they are for that to make sense. We're just too different. There are 8 million species in the world, and we're nice to a few of the cute ones, but we enslave and eat the other species. Mostly, we don't care about them at all.
And I think a good analogy would be the way humans treat animals. When the time comes to build a highway between two cities, we are not asking the animals for permission.
In the blink of an eye, we conquered the Earth and converted most of its land into our property, which caused the sixth mass extinction. Because we were smarter and hungry for resources. Or, as Eliezer Yudkowsky put it famously, the AI does not hate you, nor does it love you, but you're made of atoms, which it can use for something else. The parallel here is, the humans do not hate the other 8 million species, but their habitats are made out of atoms, which humans can use for something else. Some people think that once AIs are smart enough, they'll magically become super moral, and they won't harm us like we harmed the animals. And maybe. But as humans got smarter, over the last 10,000 years, we didn't stop expanding. We mostly just colonized more and more of the planet. Get this, insect populations collapsed 41% this decade alone. Yet we don't care. Did you even know? I didn't. 41%. Sit with that for a minute. Imagine if nearly half of the people on Earth suddenly died. That's what the insects are going through right now due to us. So what if the AIs do to us what we did to the insects? This is why OpenAI chief scientist Ilya Sutskever once said,
"And I think it's pretty likely the entire surface of the Earth will be covered with solar panels and data centers."
Next up, egalitarian utopia. Okay, so libertarian utopia fails because AIs are too powerful to be bound by our property rights. But what if we flipped the script entirely? Forget about property rights. What about no property at all? This is the Star Trek dream. Humans, cyborgs, and AIs coexist peacefully through an abundance so complete that ownership becomes meaningless. The logic starts with software. Software is free to copy. Once something can be copied infinitely at zero cost, ownership becomes moot. And cost reflects scarcity. If supply is unlimited, price approaches zero. No patents, no copyrights, no trademarks. People simply share their good ideas and everyone benefits. But how does this extend to physical goods? It seems like an impossible problem. Until you realize that all products are simply atoms, rearranged in particular ways. And there's no shortage of atoms. A network of robots can build anything you want from open source designs, essentially for free.
Not bad.
When you're done with something, robots rearrange the atoms into something else. Renewable energy makes the whole system run at negligible cost. Everyone gets a monthly universal high income, not a universal basic income. There's no incentive to earn more. The income meets any reasonable need, and you can't compete with free anyway. The standard objection is that this would kill innovation. But Einstein didn't come up with relativity for money. Linus Torvalds didn't create Linux for profit. Maybe people today can't realize their creative potential because they're busy earning a living. Free them from that, and you might get a higher level of innovation. This is a utopian vision that is too good to last. If we truly have post-scarcity abundance and intelligence too cheap to meter, what prevents someone from creating an artificial superintelligence with their endlessly abundant resources? We're still left with the problem of how to stop a superintelligent AI from taking over. Maybe by using the gatekeeper we previously discussed. These galaxy-brained level 3 futures try to imagine a stable cooperation between humans and AIs, and every single one of them has a fatal flaw. The power asymmetries will become too extreme. It's not a stable equilibrium where humans preserve their power. We're now descending into the darkest part of the iceberg. Remember when I said extinction wasn't rated as the worst outcome when Professor Tegmark surveyed people? The scenario people feared most was being kept alive by superintelligent machines, captive and studied like animals in a zoo. This is that future. A superintelligent AI keeps humans around, not because it cares about our well-being. Maybe it wants to study you, and we're cheap to keep alive. Or maybe we're useful for something. And if you want to see just how dystopian this future could be, look at what we do with species that are useful to us. What I'm showing you here is 100% real. Humans figured out that a great way to detect explosives in airports was to train honeybees for the job.
Welcome to the Honeybee College for explosive detection.
So we suck them out of their homes, trap their little bodies in machines, and use Pavlovian conditioning to train them to detect the chemicals that are used in explosives. Rows and rows of bees live their entire lives imprisoned in these devices because we find them useful. Look at them. Trapped in harnesses, sucked through tubes, conditioned and monitored and used because a more intelligent species found them useful. Now imagine that's us. This is much worse than the other AI dictators we discussed. It's a benevolent dictator without the benevolence. And the AI might not even be doing this because it's evil. This is what our future could look like if we try to align a superintelligent AI to our values and fail. A poorly designed AI, tasked with keeping humans safe and happy, might confine us to a happiness factory. VR headsets and drugs. Forever. There are AGI outcomes worse than death. What it does today with art, it could do tomorrow with flesh. Future AGI could keep you alive and living in this state. So, how do we prevent this? Enter our last two futures. Option one, destroy the technology. What if humanity said, forget AI, let's go back to simpler times? It sounds peaceful, it sounds safe, but there's actually a dark secret about how we actually get there. In Dune, humans launched the Butlerian Jihad. They rose up, destroyed every AI in the universe, and made it illegal to ever build thinking machines again under a penalty of death. That was science fiction, but some people are seriously calling for this in the real world right now. Max Tegmark imagines a scenario where a massive propaganda campaign romanticizes the simple farming life. Back to the land, reject modernity, embrace tradition. There's something appealing about this in a dark way. It buys humanity more time without AI risk. It avoids any of the other dystopian futures we've discussed. But it can't last forever. Even if we revert to medieval levels of technology, we know from human history that it's possible for humans to climb out of those conditions and invent modern technology. And there's another dark side to this. You can't reach this world voluntarily. Game theory makes unilateral disarmament impossible. If one country gives up technology, well, others keep developing it. The country that keeps developing wins. They have the weapons, they have the surveillance, they have the AI. You can't opt out unless everyone opts out. If this world arrives, Tegmark thinks it's more likely to happen in a different way. For example, a human-created pandemic kills everyone who knows how to build science and technology, and there's a violent teardown of factories, cities, and all infrastructure. Because in a world with 8 billion humans, there will always be holdouts. Someone has to force the transition. Someone has to kill the scientists. Someone has to destroy the infrastructure. There's no peaceful path to an Amish world. Which brings us to the final future. What if we used technology to prevent more technology? Tegmark compares this future to 1984. Superintelligence is prevented not by an AI, but a human-led Orwellian global surveillance state. If you can't trust AI to save us from AI, maybe the only option is humans watching humans. Forever. The technology for this sort of thing already exists. Current tech can feasibly track every phone call, email, search query, and every credit card transaction. Smartphones are microphones and cameras in everyone's pocket. Security cameras with facial recognition are everywhere. And all of this works with current machine learning. No futuristic superintelligent AI required. Prisons are already using AI models to monitor phone calls in prison to predict when crimes are being contemplated, which is technology straight out of Minority Report. Imagine this, but not just for prisoners. Every conversation and every thought is monitored like this. Now imagine this surveillance technology supercharged with AI. Oof. Billionaire Larry Ellison talks excitedly about a vast AI-fueled surveillance system to ensure citizens will be on their best behavior. Or as Yuval Harari put it,
now, for the first time in history, it is technically possible to annihilate privacy. If you think about authoritarian regimes, throughout history they always wanted to monitor their citizens around the clock. But this was technically impossible. Even in the Soviet Union, you know, you have 200 million Soviet citizens. You can't follow them all the time because the KGB didn't have 200 million agents. And even if the KGB somehow got 200 million agents, that's not enough. Because, you know, in the Soviet Union, it's still basically paper bureaucracy. If a secret agent followed you around 24 hours a day, at the end of the day, they write a paper report about you and send it to KGB headquarters in Moscow. So imagine, every day, KGB headquarters is flooded with 200 million paper reports. Now, to be useful for anything, somebody needs to read and analyze them. They can't do it. They don't have the analysts. Therefore, even in the Soviet Union, some level of privacy was still the default.
And remember, you have two eyes and ears. AIs will have billions of eyes and ears. Every phone, microphone, and camera, every webcam, every surveillance camera, you will be watched. Could a less Orwellian version of this work? Maybe we don't monitor everything, but just monitor advanced AI? Some people think so, In their new book, If Anyone Builds It, Everyone Dies, Why Superhuman AI Would Kill Us All, researchers at the Machine Intelligence Research Institute are proposing that we monitor advanced AI like we monitor nuclear weapons. Reminder, we can do international coordination, like keep an eye on $100 million and up compute clusters, without creating a dystopian Orwellian global surveillance totalitarian regime. Actually, fun fact, you're already living in a global surveillance regime for loads of things, like nukes and bioweapons. But when people say global surveillance regime, they imply every aspect of life is surveilled. Not keep an eye on enriched uranium, a thing most people agree is good. We should worry about Orwellian dystopias, but countries coordinate all the time on all kinds of things. And you're probably glad they monitor stuff lunatics need to create super Ebola. Safety is an achievement. Humanity didn't get here by driving a car without brakes. We need gas and brakes. We want to reach the stars too, but we'll never get there if we go too fast and crash on the way. I don't want powerful AI to be forbidden, but it should be heavily regulated, not something you can build in your Midwestern garage or in North Korea. International treaties with strict enforcement and inspections, as we do with nukes. So if you build a rogue data center, people will know. Consequences for violations. We already did this with nuclear weapons. We haven't eliminated nukes, but we have prevented their proliferation to just 9 countries. Back then, people thought this would be impossible. Surely every country would have nukes. Perhaps even thousands of corporations. Maybe even millions of people. But no, just 9 countries. And nobody has died from a nuke in 80 years. Could we do the same with AI? Maybe, maybe not. Over time, AI will get cheaper and cheaper to build. GPUs are harder to control than enriched uranium, but it would slow down AI. It would buy us time to figure out what to do. Okay, that's all 12. Let me know in the comments which of these you think is most likely, which one we should steer toward.
Alarm bells over the artificial intelligence are deafening, and they are loudest from the developers who designed it. The scientists and experts have called on the world to act, declaring AI an existential threat to humanity on a par with the risk of nuclear war.
By the way, we don't get to not choose. If we don't want that future, we have to pick a better one. Otherwise, we could wake up one day in a world where superintelligent AI has taken over. Step by step in this video, the how AI.
We've been right about the poison shots and raised the main alarm, and right about the open borders, and right about the wars, and right about the entire agenda. That's why the bad guys want us off air. And that's why it's such a revolutionary act when you take the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X or on Rumble at AJN Live. That's the new site on Rumble. Hundreds of thousands followed just last day. I want to thank all of you that did at AJN Live there. Follow us there. Get the free app for the Droid and for Apple for your phone at alexjonesapp.com. This is a revolutionary act. Share it on your email list, your text message list. Tell those you share it to share it. That creates the chain reaction. And then support us at thealexjonesstore.com. But the sister site of the owner of the Alex Jones Network, Bigly, is realalexjones.com. And they hold back 10% of the knives and the coins and the t-shirts that are limited edition there. A lot of the stuff that you'll find that's sold out at thealexjonesstore.com is available at realalexjones.com, like the modern updated World War II trench knife with the blacked out, murdered out brass knuckles, the skull crusher, 10-inch double-edged dagger, 5 different limited edition laser engraved designs. They're all about to sell out. Only a few hundred left at realalexjones.com. So take advantage of that. Support us. The ultramethylene blue, the bovine colostrum, the shilajit, all the very best supplements you're going to find are at realalexjones.com. When you support us, we are absolutely unstoppable. But whatever you do, become a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com because you get $40 to spend in the store each month, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything on top of it, and you can cancel anytime. There's no commitment, just in your profile. You pay $30 a month, you get $40 to spend instantly, and the special deals, special deals, special offers, cancel any time. Stand with us. We've got so much more work to do. All of our victories are shared together. It's because of you. Take action now at RealAlexJones.com and TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.